Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue our discussion of the Word of God. We were talking about sanctification last time, and we were dealing with sanctification of the heart and how God has to has set us apart. And to sanctify or be sanctified simply means that it's a process, but God has to set us apart from the world, from the flesh, from Satan, from all of the things that are corrupt because or due to the fall. And so what we said, God's full salvation is big, and we oftentimes only really experience the justification part of salvation. When we look at God, justification, before man in the garden, man before the fall was placed before the tree of life, and it was God created man in his image because man is a tripartite being, body, soul, and spirit. God is a spirit. So in order for man to experience God, he has to have something in the same nature or kind or likeness, right? When God created all the things in the garden, he said he created those things according to its kind. But there was nothing for God of his kind, so he made man in his image, in his likeness. But just because he made man in his image out of dust, man still could not relate to God until God's life was imparted to him. So we see Satan coming in because Satan and the angels rebelled against God, and we see that they were judged, and they were in the beginning in Genesis, the creation, you see there was a void. When God created the heavens and earth, then there was a void in verse 2. So between verses 1 and 2 are thousands of years. They call it the gap theory. And then God has to recreate, okay? But when we see this, we see that there was rebellion in heaven, and that rebellion came down on earth, and Satan usurped the authority of man, okay? There was two trees, and man was given a choice. God does not force his will on us. God said, whosoever will, let him come. He wants a willing and a cheerful giver, a willing and a cheerful being, right? Mm-hmm. So man had to choose, and man chose through Satan coming in and usurping the authority. He chose the wrong tree. So therefore, God's life was not imparted to man. Y'all see that? So God's purposes still stand. God still had a purpose for creating man. And even though Satan came in the garden to usurp and cause the fall, it still did not thwart the plans of God. Okay? God's way of bringing man back to himself was by Christ, God in Christ becoming incarnate. Christ came incarnate because God was in Christ. Y'all see this? And therefore, because he was a man, he was fully God, he was fully man. He had to be a man because a man lost him. This is why we call him the last Adam. Amen? Mm-hmm. So having come, he had to go through under the law, yet without sin. And so God could be declared righteous and at the same time justify us. See, Satan wanted a reason to accuse God going outside of the confines of what was right. But God was still declared right because he, through Christ, imputed his righteousness, and it still declared that God was right and just because a man lost it, therefore a man gained it, gained the victory again, right? Mm-hmm. So only because he said we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Only because of Christ redeeming man back to God through his death is it possible for God's life to be imparted into us. And then when you read in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ became the life-giving spirit. Now God's life can be imparted into man because Christ was processed. You see this? And I don't want to get into that right now, but he had to go through. God in the beginning was God. He was deity, and he was all by himself, right. But you notice God was there, but God had to go on and be processed through Christ in order to become the life-giving spirit where he can be imparted into us. You see this? Mm-hmm. In order, Christ is the tree of life. He is the life-giving spirit. He is the bread of life. If you read throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, you see them eating the lamb and partaking of the Passover. All of that was a picture of us eating Christ. Christ as the true vine. You see this? He is life. He's that tree. He's that vine that we get life from. Apart from Christ, we are nothing.
Amen.
You see, so we have to see, it goes right back to the beginning in Genesis. Man was to eat from Christ. He was to eat from the right tree, which was the tree of life. And then we'll see that tree again in Revelation at the very end. So my point here is that in salvation, the cross is twofold. It's for redemption, and it's also for sustaining us and providing life. We have to continue to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And I know we've just gotten through the Easter, the resurrection holiday, or, you know, where we commemorate Christ's death and his resurrection. So we have to, this is a picture of Christ being life for us. In order for life to come forth from a seed, that kernel of wheat must go into the earth and die in order to produce much fruit. That's what it says in John 12, right? Mm-hmm. So when Christ came into the earth, he had to die, because when you look at a natural seed, what happens? That seed, that shell is a protector, and the life of the shell is inside, which is the embryo. In order to get life to come out, that shell has to pop, and that's when we plant the seed in the dirt and we cover it, and the water and the weight of the dirt and the mud and the sunshine, the dirt actually works against the seed to pop the shell. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
So that the life that's inside the shell can come forth. And when it comes forth, it has to still work against the dirt. We don't see all of this on the top. We don't see this going on. And it's the same thing that takes place with us. When we receive the engrafted word with meekness, he says, for it is able to save the soul. When we receive the word or Christ, he comes into our heart. That's regeneration, into our, where our spirit man receives Christ. Okay? Mm-hmm. And there, from there, he has to permeate my heart. We read last week, we said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
God has God's life. Regeneration is simply God's life added to us. And God, when we were fallen, dead in sin and our trespasses, what Christ does is uplifts humanity. This is why he's our representative man. This is why they could put the blood on the doorpost in Egypt and God passed over them, because God saw the blood. He saw that Christ from the foundations of the world would be crucified on our behalf, okay? So when we apply faith in the blood and what it means, it's twofold. Remember, it's for redemption and it's also for providing life, sustaining life for us, okay? So when the blood is applied, God says, you participated by faith by shedding an animal and putting the blood on the doorpost and getting in the house. Remember? Mm-hmm. And when they did that, that was an act of faith. Now, just because they moved by faith didn't mean that they were totally at peace. They were right. They were perfect. Y'all see that? But the faith they had in the blood caused them to move and go in the house.
Yes.
It's the same with you and I. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we're not perfect after that, right? Am I the only one that can attest to that? We still have faults and hang-ups and hook-ups. Mm-hmm. We stumble. But it is because of the blood applied to the heart that God can pass over me and continue to work on me.
Yes. Amen.
So the blood being applied simply means that I've been set apart by God. I've been marked. And I am in Christ. And when he sees Christ, I'm in him. Mm-hmm. So when Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, so were my sins. When Christ was risen, so was I without sin. And I have to now learn to walk by newness of life. And this is the spirit that's in me, that's imparted to me, the life-giving spirit. As I exhibit faith and trust and move at the prompting and the leading of the spirit by faith in what the cross accomplished for me, God can impart his life and help me to overcome.
Amen.
See, while we're in this life, we learn to enjoy Christ. Christ said we're going to have heartaches, tribulation. John 16:33, he said, in this life you're going to have tribulation, but you and I can be of good cheer because his life is in us, and he imparts this life-giving spirit as I apply it in my day-to-day experience practically. See, this is where we get stuck. We have to learn how to apply. It's not the doctrine. It's not me getting head knowledge, because what the Bible say, knowledge puffs up, but it is love that edifies, right?
Yes.
So as I'm learning to walk in his love and I'm experiencing Christ on a day-to-day basis, transformation takes place, see? And this is what we want to get into tonight. We're trying to see how God's life, how in the process of sanctification, once I'm justified, justification qualifies me to be sanctified, okay? Justification means that the wrath of God is settled. I am reconciled because I was an enemy. And you can read that in Romans chapter 5, chapter 6. And then now I'm able to live for God, and God's life can be imparted to me, and I become holy. See this?
Yes.
You and I, your holiness, the amount of holiness that's imparted to you and I is determined or based upon how much I walk and grow or mature in him by faith. So that means that every day I have to learn how to rely on his spirit in my life to now teach me how to walk and to trust him. So that means that the soul life, my life as I know it, has to be put to death by the cross. The purpose of the cross is to terminate self, okay? Many people don't want to deal with, because, you know, when we deal, when we get saved, we're used to self being on the throne of our hearts. We're used to living for self. We're used to promoting self. We're used to looking out for self. You know, it's first what self needs first, and then whatever everybody else needs, then okay. That's the natural life. So the believer has to understand, you know, we know what's obviously evil. We try to refrain from what's evil according to the natural side, but we don't deal with the good. Remember, we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what's good in my sight is not good in God's sight. God has to crucify and get rid of my natural goodness, my natural being, and so I must be willing to work with the Spirit of God in that area. If I'm not willing to see myself as I am, then the Spirit will not force me to change. So holiness is based upon how much I'm yielded to the process of the cross in my day-to-day living, okay? Husband and wives, y'all know the deal. We're so easy to point fingers at at each other, right?
Yeah.
But grace, God's life in me and you and I, is saying this is what grace is. Grace is, we often say, is God's unmerited, undeserved favor, you know, which it is. But grace is just simply Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is God's, it is Christ's life in us. And that life in us is waiting to be expressed through us, see? So he's waiting to express himself. Now, what did God tell man in the beginning? The same thing, the same plans, and the same purposes that God desired at the very beginning, it still holds today. So just because the fall occurred through Satan's usurpation, it does not change or negate God's plans for man. God told man to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and have dominion, right? Man is to be the expression of God. He was created in God's image to express God. Christ was in the image of the invisible God to express God. You see this? So we, That was man's original purpose. That was why Christ came. He was our he's the one that produced the many. He's the firstborn of many brethren. See, Christ is the prototype. So he showed us how it was done. Christ did not use his powers as God. He never lost possession of his deity, but he came to express himself as a man, fully dependent upon God. So he was expressing, mm-hmm. it was God's life expressed through him. Mm-hmm. And you and I
right.
have to allow mm-hmm. God's life to be expressed through us. So we can't mm-hmm. just be created in an image and likeness. We often say this, a glove is created in the image of a hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the glove is useless unless a hand is inserted, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're in the image and likeness of God, we're useless unless God's life is flowing through us. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
Amen. So let's go to, I know I can get kind of carried away here, but let's go to
First Thessalonians. That's okay. That's okay.
any comments or questions? Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to First Thessalonians chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
verse 23.
It's just so amazing how you thinking that once you get saved, that's it, just get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
on my way to heaven now. But then when you read and you listen to Bible study, there's so much more.
Yes.
So much
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
much.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so this
yeah.
is why it's important that we seek God. We don't just, you know, a lot of times doctrine, and I'm not against, or traditions, they hinder us from really getting to God.
Mm-hmm.
Religion, you know, we're not saying don't go to church or anything like that, but we have to be under verbal message that teaches us God's life imparted to us and how to live it out practically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're not understanding that and we go to church, we get saved, give our lives, and no one ever points us to the fact that God needs you and I to be vessels to express his life so that,
mm-hmm.
you know, what we often do is point people to religion or religious activities, and we're diverted from our focus being on Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when
mm-hmm.
you read in Revelation, you see all these churches, and he speaks to some. He says, I know your works. I know how your works are great and grand. He said, but I have this against you. You have left your first love, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get distracted by what the works that we do in church or religious activities because we miss
yeah.
Christ.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, true.
So this is why we have to understand sanctification. It is, I'm set apart for you, Lord.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in it because I want to be seen or heard or I want to promote myself. I'm in it because I need your life sustaining spirit day by day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I know me.
Hallelujah.
I know that if somebody catch me on the right day at the right time in the right moment,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to show
mm-hmm.
up. But I want your life to show up on the job. I want your
yes.
life to
mm-hmm.
show up in my home
mm-hmm.
amongst my kids and my mm-hmm. husband and my, you know,
family
members.
How many times have I said, Lord, excuse me. Excuse
right.
me, Lord.
Right.
Yeah, you get so carried away. Yeah. Lord, excuse me.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
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 Yes,
all right, so
yes,
let's go to
yes.
1 Thessalonians 5:23, and we'll go from there.
Oh, 5:23, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Okay, sister Chair.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so it is in sanctification that God, the process of sanctification that God preserves our spirit, soul, and body blameless, without
mm-hmm.
blame. Only in sanctification. So what God is doing is, he knows, he's calculated at the cross, that I'm still messed up. My condition is that I still think the natural way. My condition is that sometimes I miss it. as we stated earlier, right? Mm-hmm. My condition. But he says if you enter into sanctification, this process, and you submit to the cross, putting to death or terminating your natural life in your spirit, soul, and body, then there will be transformation. God will get, there will be peace because he's the God of peace, one. And when they, when people, you know, you look at your life and you think about, there's a time people say, looked at you wrong, you ready to go off.
Mm-hmm.
Say something wrong, you were ready to go off. But in the process of, when we enter into the process of sanctification, there is a transformation that takes place. And we're going to see this tonight. So God comes into us by way of, into our human spirit. So you and I will have, and I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about how the divine nature and the divine life of God enters into us, right? And in Ezekiel, it talks about, I think it was chapter 26, if I'm not mistaken, but it talks about how we receive in regeneration a new heart and a new spirit, okay? So this is what happens. It means that in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27, talks about how we receive a new heart to replace the heart of flesh, to replace the heart of stone. So we, as we experience God's love and grace, our old heart, mm-hmm. which was cold towards him, is being softened, okay? Then we receive a new spirit because our old spirit was dead, and so regeneration, he uplifts. And he renews our old spirit or enlivens it, okay? So then we become alive and fully functioning so that we can contact God. And then we receive the Spirit of God himself dwelling in us. So
mm-hmm.
just like coming into your house, you know, when you have people in your house, we often let them in through the front door. They have access to the main room, right, the living room. But we don't let them go into all these, you know, our closets, our bedrooms. And God wants access to all that stuff. So he don't want to just be a guest. He wants to settle down.
That's right.
Make
That's
himself
right.
at home fully.
That's what I want, too. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And y'all know
yes,
we're good at pretense, having a form. Having a form of godliness, but what did he say? They denied the power thereof. From such, turn away. You see, it's easy to have the form because the form mm-hmm. can quote the scriptures, memorize the scriptures, act holy, do external things, abstain from sinful things. You know, a sinful person can abstain from evil things. That don't make them holy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see that? Y'all understand? You know, growing up, I didn't club, drink, smoke, party. And we often declare, oh, she's a good girl, a good person, right?
Right.
But that doesn't make us holy.
Right.
See? And mm-hmm. we think, oh, if I abstain from knowing this, then I'm right in God. Nope, you're still a sinner because God's life cannot impart in a sinner or being imparted or in a sinner's heart without regeneration. You see this? So you got people saying, well, I got to get right before I come to God. You see what I mean? I got to stop mm-hmm. sinning and stop doing. You can stop that stuff all you want. That does not declare or make you holy. That does not change you. That's just something that you've done external. So holiness is internal. It begins inwardly, and then it will manifest outward in your conduct,
mm-hmm.
your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You see that?
Amen.
And that's where
Amen.
Sanctification takes place, and it's God's life. And then even in that, you and I don't even have to try. You hear me when I say this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
oh, I gotta
mm-hmm.
try to. Oh, I gotta. She gonna go. I'm going in this
mm-hmm.
office, and this girl gonna get on my
like
last
a struggle,
nerve.
Like after
yeah.
feeling like it's a struggle. Right,
yeah.
right.
We
right.
don't.
Uh-huh.
When sanctification takes place, truly
mm-hmm.
takes place in your heart and
mm-hmm.
life, you will
mm-hmm.
respond out of
mm-hmm.
love, and it's
That's
as
right.
breathing. It's as breathing.
That's right. That's
See
right.
That?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's like breathing. It's something that you would do naturally, not even thinking twice about it.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful even in that, because sometimes we'll try to act like, you know, well, I got to be holy. I can't say this. Lord, I'm biting my tongue. That means that ain't the spirit working in you.
No, you know, Lord, hold my tongue. Keep me calm,
yes.
Lord.
Yes.
You speak through me, Lord. Calm me down. Yeah, because if I step up, I'm saying it wrong. Lord, let me be quiet. You take over.
Right.
You know, yeah. No, it's true.
It's a natural response. It's a natural response.
And you want to respond in the right way.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to be you want people to respond to you in the right way. And
exactly.
You know, Lord, you got to do the talking, because
Amen.
They will respond. They're going to hear you.
Right.
I don't want to get in the way.
Yeah.
No. I hear you. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So this is sanctification. This is the process we have to enter into. Now, when you and I enter into it, we enter into it with our whole being, our heart. Our heart, last week we said, entails the soul plus the conscience. Now, the spirit of a man is his conscience, his intuition, and it's the place of communion and fellowship where he communes with God, okay? The soul of a man entails his mind, his will, and his emotion. So the heart of a man is his conscience, which is a part of the spirit, plus the soul, okay? Because God has to convict us to affect the heart, to affect the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, okay? So it's the center of a man. So when God deals with us, it comes to our human spirit. He has to, it's the heart that has to be awakened and given a fleshly heart. We had, you know, we're no longer cold towards God. So I must learn how to trust God. And see, we don't have to calculate and understand how it all works. We have to just be willing to trust God and realize, let God deal with us. Because a lot of times we don't want to admit who we are, what we are. We want to point the blame at others. But what happened with Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 6? He said when King Uzziah died, see, King Uzziah, as we often say, was their great hope. He was a good king. But this king they put their trust in, and he became lifted up as well. The king said thought he could do the role of a priest. Only the priest could do the role of the priest, because the priest was a type of Christ. So the king tried to do the services of the priest, the high priest, and leprosy came upon him, and he died. Okay? Isaiah said, when King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. See, some things that we trust in and look to and depend upon and put our hope in have to come down sometimes. Sometimes we put too much into people, family, friends, you know, and they get in the way of our relationship with God. God has a hard time getting to us because these things are in the way. But when Uzziah came down, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high, lifted up. And what happened? His train filled the temple, not just a little bit. See, this is God dwelling in us. And if we're the temple, God has to fill us. See, all of God has to dwell and settle down in our temple. Okay? And so this is what sanctification does. It allows God's life to permeate us and saturate us till we respond just like Christ. We start acting like Christ, and we start doing and being Christ-like, and which conforms us into that image of Jesus Christ, just like a cake. When you put the cake batter in a pan, whatever pan you put that cake in, what happens? It goes through transformation, and then when it, you know, you have the mix and everything, that's, you know, it's going through transformation. When you put it in the oven, and when you take it out, it's in the form of that what?
Pan.
See that? That's conformation. You see that? It's conformed to the image of the pan, but it had to go through transformation. It had to become, you had to go buy the eggs and the flour and all those different elements, and they had to be mixed and then put in the oven, and the heat was applied, and you see it was being transformed to be conformed to the image of the cake pan. And we are the same. We are being, we have been mingled with the life-giving spirit or the divine nature so that we can be transformed through tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. And then out come we as conformed into the image of what? Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
Y'all see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't want that. We just want to go through the motions of church and play church. We want to go through the outward movements and activity and have no power to overcome some things.
Right.
You see that? Satan wants us there. This is where he wants us because it is the area of our emotions and our flesh that he rules and reigns. See, remember Peter? Peter walked with Christ, was a disciple of Christ, had a revelation of who Christ was. But yet, because Peter, the cross hadn't come, hadn't happened yet in God's life, the Spirit was not in them yet. But Peter, when Christ stated his purpose in coming, that he must be crucified, Peter said, no, 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 far be it for you, Lord, to go to the cross. See, this was Satan at work. And when we're speaking things from a human perspective or a natural inclination or looking at things from a human perspective instead of divine influence, Peter, see, we're always changeable. God wants to establish our hearts. The heart is changeable. The natural heart is always, one minute we're here, and next minute you ever seen people, one minute you think they're with you and understand what you're talking about, then another crowd come along, convince them, and there they go, they done swayed over to that. It's because we're changeable. See that?
Amen.
But when Christ comes in and establishes us and makes us rooted in him,
that's right.
I don't care which way the culture goes.
That's
I don't
right.
care which
That's
way
right.
the wind blows. You and I are built on the rock of our salvation. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Any questions or comments? Amen. So this is what sanctification does. It allows God's life to spread and permeate in us to establish us in faith. We won't be wavery. Remember, a doubtful man is unstable.
Right. That's it.
And then
he
told them to preach, to edify the church so that we no longer be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Look at all these preachers and teachers and ministries and religions that's out there, and you don't know what to believe, right? Everybody picks up something from each belief system and this and that, and we're just wayward. We're carried about with every wind of doctrine. But when we allow Christ to establish our hearts, meaning become rooted, we're no longer swayed. Okay, we're not swayed in our emotions, in our mind, nor our will.
Can't make me doubt my Lord.
Why? Because we have a new element in us that replaces our old element. Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, and then we're going to probably go to Ephesians chapter 3. Romans chapter 12, I think we started this one, and let me get there right quick. So we already said that God desires to sanctify us wholly, body, soul, and spirit. Now, the process by which he does this is in Romans 12, and we'll start again at verse 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, so we said last week that our reasonable service is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now, this has reference to the sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament, right? They will bring a live, living animal to the altar. It couldn't be a dead. It couldn't have blemishes and all this stuff, right? So we are a living. We're living only because we died in Christ, right? The old man was crucified. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live, By faith, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm only living because I'm dead with Christ, crucified with him, right?
Amen.
So I can present, yield, surrender my body as living, a living sacrifice, and it's holy because I'm in the process of transformation. In the process of sanctification where God is transforming me. Let's put it that way. And so I become well-pleasing to God, and he says, this is my this is our reasonable service, to present. See, we not present. We're not presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. Why? Because we care too much. We got too much of the cares of the world, the cares of man, the will of man, our own desires, our own trying to preserve our own life as we know it, right? So this reasonable means this is your logical, rational. It says in the Greek, in harmony with the highest reason. And service is in worship of God. See, they that worship God worship him in what?
Spirit and truth.
And truth, right. So why are we worshiping God in or according to flesh and our own tradition, religion, and doctrine? He said spirit and truth, not flesh. This is why we got all these opinions. This is why we have all the opinions. So flesh has to be crucified with Christ as well. Flesh is just simply, this is what happened when we fell. When we went from God consciousness in the Garden of Eden, we went from God consciousness to self consciousness, and instead of it being God on the throne, now self is on the throne, and this is the flesh. Satan uses, works and operates through our flesh, which is beholden to our human life and natural man. We look at things from a human perspective, not God conscious, but self. Okay, so the reason why, when we talk about the example of Peter, when he said, far be it for you to go to the cross, Peter and the disciples desired that Christ would oust Rome and restore Israel as a ruling nation. That they kept asking, are you going to restore Israel at this time? Even after he was resurrected, they say, are you going to restore Israel at this time? So when Christ said he was going to the cross, Peter immediately, because he was in the flesh, he wanted his selfish desires fulfilled and met. He said, no, Lord, you can't go to the cross. You came here as the Messiah to oust Rome. Get us out from under this oppressive government. See? And he said, see, Satan used that because he was in the flesh. When we look at things from a human perspective, our own desires, our own wants, instead of what the will of God is, Satan came in and used Peter as an opportunity to stop Christ from going to the cross. So Christ looks at Peter, but he's speaking to the spirit behind what Peter said. Get behind me, Satan. See, some of us, we got to be careful. I don't care if it's family, friends, church members, whomever. You and I have to learn to say what God's word says, not my own desire. Even us, we can persuade, and you find a scripture to support what we want done in our lives and not God's will. You see what I'm saying? We have to be very careful because God's will may be contrary to what you and I want according to the flesh. It may naturally, I remember going through a sickness and I wanted to be healed right away. I don't want to go through these treatments and all these different things and having to go through. And I was moping. I've been in church, minister of music, minister, teacher, and, Lord, I'm working for you and serving you, and this sickness hit me. Oh, get me out of it, Lord. And the Lord sent a word through a stranger. I happened to go to shopping, and this lady that worked there looked at me and said, God said, you got to go through this. If you can't go through this, how can you go through anything else?
Amen.
See this? And the whole point was I had to present myself.
Amen.
You say you're a child of God, you serving me, okay, but you only want to serve me when it's according to what you want and the things you want it to go. You see? And so I had to present, even though I didn't want to go through that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as I entered in it reluctantly, I saw God transform me. And
yeah,
God
yeah,
do
yeah.
some things in me. Yeah, I had the outward man had to perish. I had to go through,
right,
you know, a transformation.
Right.
But inwardly, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I was strengthened, growing day by day. See
that's
that?
That's it.
And
I
learned
yeah.
not to depend on man, not to look to man,
yeah.
not to put my
yeah.
hope in a organization, not to put my trust
mm-hmm.
in people. And
mm-hmm.
see, all
mm-hmm.
these things I could have never experienced had I not presented. You got to
right.
come on here.
Right. Right. Hallelujah.
That soulless yeah. life got yeah. to be crucified, and you got to come
that's
according
right.
to my will. See that?
Amen.
That's right.
And so in John 1 and 12, he said, he called us not according to the will of man, the will of the flesh, but according to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
See this?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
we have
mm-hmm.
to learn, and the initial surrender is the hardest. But after the initial surrender, then it becomes
mm-hmm.
easier because you're
mm-hmm.
learning to walk in stride with your God. You're learning his steps. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The steps of a good man are what?
Ordered by the Lord.
See that? And so, God, we have to let God order our steps day by day. It don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about Abraham. Abraham, he told him, leave your kindred. Abraham did not respond immediately. Abraham
mm-hmm.
did not leave. So he was with his father, and I think one of his brother died, and he had Lot, which was his nephew. And then eventually Abraham still hung around because his dad was there, and then his dad died. That event caused Abraham to leave.
Mm-hmm.
See how
mm-hmm.
stubborn the flesh is? We
yeah.
often won't move. So he left,
mm-hmm.
and then it was several surrenders. See, before Abraham was able to offer up Isaac on the altar, it took leaving Ur, separating from Lot, wrestling, you know, with God as far as him and Sarah dealing with Hagar and all this and that. And you
mm-hmm.
see, it's a surrender. It's a yielding. God said, listen to your wife, Abraham, and Ishmael
mm-hmm.
got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So all
mm-hmm.
of this before,
mm-hmm.
the only way that Abraham was able to offer up Isaac was through presenting himself day by day.
Amen.
Areas where he was reluctant, but he had to do it according to God's will. And as he entered, eventually, you see how God got him to the point where he willingly
mm-hmm.
was ready to sacrifice
yes.
his son.
Yes. I'm not winning this. He said, I'm not winning this battle. Yes. Let me just stop.
Yes.
Let the good Lord take over. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And all of that was to teach Abraham, and it's to teach us as well. So this is what
mm-hmm.
we had. This is our reasonable
mm-hmm.
service. Present yourself. Come to God fully.
Yes.
That's it.
Ready
it.
And able.
You gotta
and
you got to surrender. You got to
yes,
surrender.
Ma'am.
Because
yes,
what you've been doing has not been working. You understand?
Right.
What you've been doing has not been working. So you got to, you know, something. Let me just stop. Lord, I give myself to you.
Amen.
Yeah, Lord, I give myself to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you
Amen.
And
so,
you see how things start to change and brighten for you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
So
Amen. We have to learn how to walk in stride with God. So it says, this is our this is the service, our reasonable service that we are to offer unto God is presenting
mm-hmm.
ourselves on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it says, it says here, this indicates that the service of the believers is an issue of the growth in life described in the foregoing chapters. It indicates further that this service must be in the body, the church. So we have to allow God's life. See, when we're yielded to God, we will connect to the true, to the body. As we yield it to the head, Christ as the head, yielded to the head means that we have life supply flowing to us and we become connected
mm-hmm.
to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody that's a Christian is growing and allowing themselves to be connected to the head or headed up, as the Bible says, under the head. So only when as we grow and are submitted to the head will we be connected to the body, meaning other members of the body that are submitted to the head. That makes
mm-hmm.
sense?
Yes.
This is why it's our reasonable service, because God desires a body in the earth. If I am not growing and allowing his life to permeate me, I cannot connect to others who will supply. Remember, every joint supplies.
Amen.
You think about your natural body. We're connected to a head, but your everything supplies to each member of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm over here and not submitted or connected to the head, how can I work in conjunction with the body?
You can't.
You can't. So this reasonable service of presenting or yielding on a day-to-day basis connects me to the head, which allows life to flow from me to others in the body. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So when I'm individualistic and I want to do my own thing, and I'm over here, and this is, you know, we got all these ministries and churches, and everybody's doing things their own way, there's no connection to
That's
the head
right.
nor to the body. Okay? So verse 2, let's keep going.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
So this word, it translates, the world translates to this age, and it means the present practical part of the world, that part which we contact and in which we live, whereas the world, or the evil system of Satan in Ephesians 2, is the composition of all people, matters, and things outside of God. So it's the age that we're living in. This right here, he says, be not, and do not, I'm reading an expanded Greek, and do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed. Now, this transformation is all taking place in the process of sanctification. Transformation is the inward metabolic process in which God works to spread his divine life and nature throughout every part of our being, particularly our soul, bringing Christ and his riches into our being as our new element and causing our old natural element to be gradually discharged. Now, you think about the body and you think about metabolism, the process of metabolism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What metabolism does in the natural life is a type of change that takes place in the body based upon what you and I eat. So the body goes through a process where change occurs by the process of metabolism. So in that process, you take an organic element, and it's got vitamins and all these things in it, nutrients, and we take it into our being, and it produces a chemical change in our organic life, okay? And this change, what it does, is a chemical reaction that changes the constitution of our being from one form into another. So this is transformation. So in other words, if I eat junk and eat all this processed food, you know, all this stuff is processed nowadays, and a lot of people are getting sick because of the processed food that we're eating. Well, it's because through metabolism, what we take in, whatever's in it, you know how the old commercial was, you are what you eat? These things you eat, and it goes and it supplies nutrients, or should supply nutrients to the body, to the tissues, to the cells, and it builds us. So if I'm eating junk and eating things that's been processed, it can tear down and I get sickness and diseases and all these things. It's a result of what I put in my body. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So there is transformation, but it's not in good health. So this process of transformation here is Christ. It's an inward metabolic change, whereas as I impart or partake of Christ, he said, eat my flesh and drink my blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I partake of him, all the nutrients of Christ spread throughout my body, just like metabolism. All the stuff that the body had no more use for, it excretes through, y'all know, urination or defecation, right? And then when I eat certain foods, it takes all the vitamins and the nutrients and it builds the tissues, and then this process keeps going over and over, and whatever's not needed, it comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it builds your body based upon what you and I put in it. That's metabolism. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. It's an inward metabolic process in which God works. He's working his life into us, and it spreads. It's mainly through, it's to transform the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions? Y'all a little quiet on me. That makes sense to y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Now just taking it in, sis. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this, so if you have somebody, let's, I'm just throw out a name. If externally, let's say somebody look pale. You know, when people get sick or go through chemo or something, they become, their skin turn pale or complexion change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because of the chemical of the chemo or whatever they you know that's been put into the body to try to address the sickness. It changes the complexion, because it's not only killing the bad cells, it's killing the good cells as well, chemo. But it changes the person's complexion, right? So if I go and I, you see me and my complexion changed through whatever, the process of chemo, whatever, you want to put makeup on me to make me look better, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people go through and they put makeup on and they put the all these different things. But does that really change me?
No.
See what I'm saying? That's an outward change, right?
Right.
Most of us trying to outwardly, you know, wear long skirts and I make sure I don't, you know, women don't do this, and I, you know, we trying to change out. I'm trying to act this way, and I'm trying to say things that way, and sound whatever. We're just affecting the outward, the external.
Right.
Right.
But what has to happen?
Presenting.
Go ahead. But what has to happen is, in order to change the complexion, I got to put the right foods, get some more nourished foods in me that will nourish my body so that my skin complexion can go back or change to the norm. Y'all see what I'm saying?
This naturally,
yes. And it comes from the inside out. If I do it from the outside, it's not affecting me inwardly. My skin, I may put makeup on, but it's not changing anything inwardly. I'm just covered up.
Right.
I'm just, as Paul said, a whitewash wall. He told the Pharisees, you whitewash walls. In other words, he said, you are full of dead men bones. Inside, in your heart, you're full of dead men bones. But outwardly, you have plastered yourself like the, you know, behind the walls, they will put junk and trash, and then they will put the walls up and plaster it up, and you would never know that junk and trash was behind the walls, right?
Right.
So you call them whitewashed walls. And it's the same with us. We can outwardly affect or change ourselves, but inwardly, there's no true transformation. So unless I partake or eat of Christ and his life through experience, I'm talking about practical, not reading the scriptures and memorizing and quoting and trying to get, I'm not saying not to do that, but I'm saying that it has to be applied. There has to be a practical presenting myself as a reasonable service. Remember we used that example earlier. I have to come to God his way. And if I come to God his way, I mean that I have to be crucified or terminated, and so that his life can come forth.
Right. Amen.
So as I eat of Christ, remember back in the garden, Adam and Eve were to eat of the tree of life so that God's life could be imparted into the empty glove. The empty vessel. Remember, they were in the image and likeness. But if they eaten from the tree of life, God's life, see?
Yes.
Would have been imparted or into them. So this is why we have to have redemption, one, to bring us back and uplift humanity, body, soul, and spirit. Put it back in a position where God can use it. This is what the cross does. Two, I have to day by day partake of his life and allow him to fill me. See, the more I eat of Christ, the more there's a metabolic change in me. And it goes back to what we said earlier. You're not trying to be holy. You're not trying to refrain from stuff. You do it because his life operates in you and I.
Right.
See, then God's life is spreading. You know, some folks you probably couldn't stand, and now you feel, you see them through the eyes of the cross, that they have a need, that they that they're without the Savior, and instead of retaliating against them, now you want, you pray for them. You seek out opportunities for God to move in their lives. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen. Yes.
So here, let me go back to the scripture in Romans 12. He says the transformation is the inward metabolic process in which God works to spread his divine life and nature throughout every part of our being. This is dealing with our soul, so our mind, our will, and our emotions. God is trying to bring, Christ is bringing his riches and himself into our being. And this is the new element, see? And this new element, just like we talk about the element of the ink and the pen, the element of Christ, his riches, his life, is being imparted into me, and it causes my old natural element to be discharged. It's like through the process of metabolism. When I eat new or eat food or organic matters or whatever, what it does is whatever was in me, the old natural element before, that the body no longer has use, as I eat more of the nutrients or vitamins and things that, and supplements that support my body, that old stuff is being discharged or released, and now I build again based upon these new elements that's in me, that's being placed in me. Y'all understand? So this will transform me.
The more we take the word in, the more we take the word in, that's when the change come in our life.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Taking the word simply means that you and I have to apply the word, because for so long we think taking the word is just quoting it and memorizing it and repeating it out loud, but it's me, what we say, presenting, Lord, I he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. So if I receive the word by eating, it says, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. So it is truth, God's truth. Christ is the truth, the way, and the life, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And the Word became flesh. And we beheld his glory, and he was full of grace and truth, right?
Amen.
So he's in me. Grace and truth is in me, ready to transform me. And it means that I'm going to have conflict with the old natural man if I'm not willing to let it gradually be discharged. How can God build me internally if I'm not willing to let go of the old man? This is why Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob wanted to remain Jacob. He wanted to be blessed by God, and this is many of us. But he didn't want to change. He wanted to hold on to God. But God says, what is your name? See? He had to admit who he was, a trickster, a planter, a supplanter, a schemer, a heel catcher. That's what his name meant, right? Only when Jacob admitted what and who he was, God could break him. And then bless him. And then change his name from a trickster, a heel catcher, a supplanter, a schemer, y'all see what I'm saying? To now Israel, prince with God and man.
Amen.
But he could not, see, this life could not be discharged to him unless there was brokenness. And so he walked with a limp. See, when God deals with us, there will be a sign of humility, and God, you people will know that you've been in God's presence, because there will be no fighting for the flesh. It'll be a transformed life that's in the image of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And your life will be, we will walk with a limp spiritually, because there's dependence upon him, upon the word. So we will seek opportunities to apply God's word in every given situation. I don't care what it is. It could be death. It could be the loss of friends. It could be whatever it is. We have to seek an opportunity to present myself as a living sacrifice. Lord, you know.
Yes.
Because presenting or yielding and approaching God will bring about transformation, this metabolic change that will eventually conform me to the image of Jesus Christ. Remember the cake in the pan? Once we go through the process, the cake comes out in the shape of that pan. And when you and I go through the process of being metabolically changed and walking through this thing experientially, we will be transformed or conformed, first transformed and then conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When people see you and they see how you respond and they see how you act and how you present yourself to others, they will know and they will see you got something different and you've been in the presence.
They see the Christ in you, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. And my time is up. So on that note, we're going to close. But for those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk and allow God's new element to replace the old you and I, and allow Christ's life to come forth in us. This is how Paul lived. He said, "I am crucified with Christ," Galatians 2:20-21. And so let's let Christ's life, this is what God wants. He wants not a form of godliness, but he wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So until next Tuesday, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.